He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Y'all do know how to do that. That's good. Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to worship at Flat Springs Baptist Church on this beautiful Easter Sunday. We're so glad that you're here with us. If you are a first-time visitor today, we do have a visitor's card that you can fill out if you would like. It's in front of you in the pew. Just fill it out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, and we'll find out a little bit more about you. I do have one announcement for you today. On the front of your bulletin, you will see that the word Easter is spelled out, and the rest is blank. Gary would like for you to fill that in. So fill the letters in however you would feel led to do so. So like for E, you could put empty tomb. Can't use that one because I said that. So, but just go ahead and fill this in as we go along throughout the service, and then he'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the service. I do want to bring to your attention a few prayer concerns. We do want to be praying for the family of Alba Fashi as she passed away on Friday. We do want to be praying for them. And then Mr. Clyde Watson, if you will be praying for him as well, that would be greatly appreciated. Now let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to be in your house of worship this morning, God. To be able to be here with our church family and to celebrate your Son rising again. God, we thank you and we just ask that we would truly focus on worshiping you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you will look in your bulletin, you will see our responsive reading. I will begin by reading, and then you will respond by reading the words printed in bold. Oh, and if you would stand up, please. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Where, O death, is your victory?
Where, O death, is your sting?
Death has been swallowed up in victory. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead,
the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him.
For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. us stand as we sing.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all your many blessings, dear Lord, and we give thanks for you giving of your Son, that for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Dear Lord, we ask that you fill us with your grace and your love, and that might overflow to others that we see this week. Now, dear Lord, we ask that you accept and bless these tithes and these offerings, be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
I think we've got everybody down here. Okay, so instead of saying good morning this morning, I want to teach you something new. This is a special greeting just on Easter, okay? So I'm going to say, He is risen, and then you say, He is risen indeed, okay? So we're going to try it, okay? Now you got to do it. All right? They're watching, okay? So, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Wow. Thank you. That was great, guys. Okay, so y'all can greet anybody all day long with that greeting. That's our special Easter greeting that we greet one another with, okay? Okay, so we've already established today Easter. What are we celebrating today? Yeah, Jesus rose again, right? The ladies went to the tomb early this morning, and they went to find Jesus' body, and it wasn't there because He had risen from the dead. He was alive again, and that's why we celebrate today. That's why today is so special, and that's why we have our own special greeting for Easter, because it's really important, okay? So today, when you see someone, you can greet them, and you can say, He is risen. And then you can tell them they're supposed to say what?
He is risen.
You guys got it. That's awesome. All right, let's say a prayer together. God, I thank You so much for these boys and girls that are here this morning. God, we thank You for the special day that we celebrate today, which is Easter. We thank You for Your Son and the sacrifice that He made for us. Please help us to remember that today and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Would you pray with me? Lord, there are so many things about this day that thrill me. To gather and watch the sun come up, to celebrate the sun coming up, to share breakfast this morning. And it felt so much like a family reunion in the fellowship hall today. To see that white shawl draped across the cross. To greet one another with the message of the Christian faith. And to proclaim in the loudest voice from the highest hill, He has risen. He has risen indeed. Oh Lord, we find hope in this day. We find hope on this day when the tomb is now empty. We find hope on this day because You appeared to others. We find hope on this day because each one of us who are a believer, who are a disciple, one day found You and invited You into our heart and into our life and committed ourselves to walk by faith for the rest of our life with You. And so we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. And on this day, we proclaim in our worship and in all that we are that we serve a resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
said. Amen. Our choir has worked so hard. Hasn't the music been wonderful today? And it started at 6:45 this morning. Kathy and Lynette brought two solos as we gathered outside this morning. Well, I can say with all confidence we'll be out of here by 12 o'clock today. Isn't that good news? We'll want to hear your feedback on this early schedule and how it worked for you. It is good to be in this place at this time. If you would, open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter. I'm going to begin to read the story of the resurrection, but I'm not going to read any resurrection story. Now, I read them all this morning in my office as part of my meditation before this message. But what we're going to read is the anticipation. Well, that's not quite true, because later in the service, I am going to read of one resurrection appearance. Well, actually, two. They all take place, and because we're going to really be thinking about how three different groups of people received the resurrection. The women and Peter that are in our text. And then the disciples, but more importantly, the third one being Thomas in John's gospel a little later on. It always thrills me to walk in and see that white shawl after seeing the purple. And it's even more powerful if we use the black on Good Friday. We started with the Stations of the Cross on this Wednesday. We gathered here to break bread as our Lord did on that night that he was betrayed. And we celebrated the Maundy Thursday service. And all of those were dark times. And now it's time to come into the light. And now it's time to come into the reality of what our faith is all about. I was having a conversation with my daughter, one of my daughters, and she asked, which is more important, Christmas or Easter? And I suggested and believe that they are two sides of the same coin. And I was reading later this week and read just one quote that said, if it weren't for Easter, there'd be no Christmas. The resurrection, the conquering of our sin, your sin, and my sin, because Jesus came at Christmas as a gift that was fulfilled when he died on the cross. For here's what I know, brothers and sisters. Everyone that's in this building is a sinner. Every one of us have been separated by that sin from Almighty God. And there's nothing in our power. There's not a thing we can do to overcome that sin. But God sent a bridge. God sent a one. God put on flesh and came down among us and did what we could not do ourselves. And he has given us a way. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're on the wrong side of history. You're on the wrong side of sin, and you're separated from God. But I've got good news today. Today could be the greatest day in all of your life and in all of your eternity, because the story of the resurrection is the exclamation point upon our salvation, that your sin has been paid for fully and completely, that Christ has taken it all on himself. And when he hung on that cross this past Friday during Holy Week, he hung on that cross for you, and he hung on it for me. And whosoever will, who would accept that gift, would have it and have everlasting life. Jesus died on Friday. That was the first day. Yesterday, he was in the tomb all day long. And in that great history, the first day of the week, the Sabbath is Saturday. And so it's Sunday. That's why the church worships on Sunday. That's why the church makes the Sabbath day, remember it and keep it holy, Sunday. The women. Well, I'll tell you no more. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read the first 12 verses. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's holy word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. I get excited just reading this. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." I love verse 8. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tale. They couldn't believe it. And they did not believe them. Verse 12. But Peter. But Peter rose and he ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. As soon as these glory bumps go down, I'm going to read it. And he saw the linen clothes by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. May God add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Would you pray? Oh, Lord. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. The tomb is empty. Eternity has been purchased. And you have paved the way to glory. And you're coming again to receive us unto yourselves. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Joseph of Arimathea was the wealthy Pharisee. He was a secret follower of Christ. And you know, he was the one who gave his tomb for Jesus to be buried in. Well, it seems that someone pulled Joseph aside and said, "Why in the world, after you paid so much for that beautiful, costly, hand-hewn tomb, did you give it to someone else to be buried in?" And Joseph, he just smiled and he said, "Why not? He only needed it for the weekend." He only needed it for the weekend. This morning, I want to preach on less death and more life. We all want that, don't we? I heard that they found something and they've got like EP34 that they find as we grow older, we get less of it, and they're finding out how to put it in vitamins or something. Isn't that great? We all want more life, don't we? Well, today, I want to talk about what is a matter of life and death. Because you see, the story that I chose as our text with Peter and the women, they don't actually see the resurrection yet. Now, if you keep reading, it's going to happen. And I would challenge you later today to keep reading. But their anticipation of that, they're expecting that. Living in the anticipation of the resurrection is where we find more life. Living in the anticipation of the resurrection is where we find purpose. It's where we find our very reason as a church and as believers for being. Someone said the Easter story ends not with a funeral, but with a festival. It demands not our applause, but our allegiance. Not our compliments, but our capitulation. I surrender all. Isn't that a great idea? You see, these women that go, they're expecting to find a dead body. I mean, Rome's been crucifying folks for years, and they all stay dead when Rome crucified you. So their logic was logical. They hadn't remembered all the words. They needed to remember the words, and maybe today you and I, we need to remember the words, because there's a promise that even what we might expect might not be what we receive. I love the title. I haven't read the book, just a quote by Joe Lamusa. And the title of his book, If I Should Die Before I Live. I don't know if it's a good book or not, but I love that title, don't you? If I Should Die Before I Live. He asked this quote, and I'm going to share it with us today. If I were to ask you to describe Easter without using any words, you could only use punctuation marks. Which punctuation marks would you use? Maybe Easter is a comma for you. It makes you stop and pause for just a second. But it really doesn't have any big effect. Perhaps Easter's a downer. It's just one big bold period. You thought you'd feel excited, but instead it seems more like just empty ritual to you. You feel like you're not on the inside, but on the outside, an onlooker. It was a day when life felt like a period to Jesus' disciples. He was dead. He was buried. An end to expectations. But wait, news of an empty tomb? The period's no longer a period. It's now a question mark. That's worse than a period. Now they're beginning to doubt. Where is he? They're perplexed. We read it in our text. The guards are gone. The stone is rolled away. And he's not there. And then angels speak. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when you were in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and how he must be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And then they remembered. Do we remember, you and I? And the question mark was then changed. An exclamation point of gratitude and praise. The resurrected Lord, and the anticipation builds. You know what I have a great fear of? I have a great fear that sometimes we come to church looking for the dead body of Christ. We come not expecting much to happen, and we're rarely disappointed. We come thinking, well, this will be another service, and I hope the choir's good, And I hope the preacher quits on time. But encounter God? Meet God face to face, heart to heart, mind to his mind? What are we expecting today? I want to tell you the stone's been rolled away. The barrier between life and death, its very self. That barrier, that chasm, that unknown, that scary, scary place. It's been rolled away. We need to ask ourselves, are we still putting barriers between us and God? Are we still putting things? Have we taken the blessings of God and used them in such a way as to gratify ourselves and not gratify him? Has the stone been rolled away in our life? I had the opportunity on several occasions to go and help after disasters. And I remember years ago, it was in the 90s, that I went down to Georgia, to Pine Mountain, Georgia, after Opal had come through. It wasn't a storm that hit us very bad, but it devastated parts of the Gulf Coast. And I remember they gave us a job to go clear a road. And we didn't know how big a job that was until we got there. And the road, my goodness, it was probably from here to the wink mark. And every 10 feet, there were two or three pine trees across that road. Now, the good news is, they weren't pine trees. They were pine trees, okay? But we stopped counting about 800. And we had to saw them and get them through. And why I tell you that story is because when we were at the beginning of the road, it was a straight road. It was a dirt road. Now you really ask yourself, we've driven 600 miles and you want us to clear a dirt road. But that's what they wanted us to do. And when you go on a mission trip, you don't ask why. You say, hallelujah, Lord. I got the worst case of poison ivy I've ever had cutting those trees. But that's another story for another time. But here's what I want you to see. We could see the end of the road. I mean, the trees, they were every which away. But we could see it. But you couldn't drive a car down it. You couldn't walk down it. Maybe today, you can see the resurrection. You can see all the way to the end of the road, and you know the Lord is coming. Holy City, our choir just sang. Holy City, they just sang. New Jerusalem coming again. And you can see it, but there are barriers. There's so many pine trees between you and it, too many to count. Today, I want to tell you the power of the empty tomb is that with one breath, God blew all the barriers away. As that tomb, as that stone rolled away, and the eternal breath of God breathed out of that tomb, the world was changed. It affected those women. It affected Peter. Old Peter. But he got up and he ran. He ran to the tomb. I love that he ran. If you read in John's account, the beloved disciple also ran with him. John went with him. What will we do, you and I, with the empty tomb? You see, the news of the resurrection made a difference in the women. They went and told it. They went and told it. The news of the resurrection, it affected Peter. And he went to see. Have we come today to see the resurrected Lord? But it didn't affect everybody. In John chapter 20, well, let's let John tell. Beginning with verse 19. And on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. I love this. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Just exactly what God did when he breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. Jesus breathed on the disciples the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on in verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." The purpose of the church is to tell sinners, if you're outside the kingdom, you're outside the kingdom. But if you'll come in, forgiveness is available. Verse 24, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples, they told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark and of the nails and place my finger into the mark on his side, I will never believe.'" Wow. Wow. What a statement. What a statement. You ever said something to the Lord like, "Unless you... until you..." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Powerful word. Brings me to that question, how will it affect us? I've got good news. Thomas finished well. I don't want to throw Thomas all the way under the bus. And maybe today the Holy Spirit is breathing in this place. And maybe you're saying, "And there's some areas in my life I've been like Thomas. The power of the resurrection, it just hasn't affected me. I've decided that I'll be Lord, and Lord Jesus can be on the second string or the third string, or he can be in the closet and I'll call him when I need him. I've decided how I'm going to do it." I was reading a post of a friend of mine that has been far away from the Lord, and he began to say in that post how he thought any faith was okay, and that he found his faith his way, and he had figured some things out, and he decided that if anybody did anything the way they wanted to and it felt like faith to them, it was okay. He may be more honest than some of us even here today who feel exactly the same way and feel that the lordship of Jesus Christ over our life is regulated to how we want to do it. I love that Thomas never did stick his fingers in the Lord's wound. He never did thrust his hand into his side, but he fell on his face. I wonder if today it might be good to fall on our face. How will it affect us? Less death and more life. Truth. What is truth anymore? I remember when eggs were bad. Y'all remember when eggs were bad? They're good now. You know that? They're good. I remember when turning your garden right after you finished harvesting, it was good. Now you need to leave it till next season. I remember when coffee used to help you guard against cancer. And I heard this past week, coffee causes cancer. Whatever truth you come up with, somebody will come up with another truth. Whatever you think, somebody will counter what you think. You don't believe it, read Facebook, amen? I mean, I can turn one post and this is the devil, and the next minute it's the Lord. And it's just like that with everything. Everything. Clarence W. Hall, listen to a quote he said. If Easter says anything to us today, it says this. You ready? You can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. You can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No man comes to the Father, how? Except by me. Brothers and sisters, as I come to conclude this morning, I read a story of a conversion of a Muslim to Christianity. And some of his friends were asking him, why would you do such a thing? The great prophet Muhammad has taught us all the right ways. Why would you leave that to follow the Christian faith? And in simple faith, he asked this question, or he made this statement. He said, well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down a road, and suddenly the road forks into two different directions, and you don't know which way to go. And there at that fork are two men. One of them dead, the other alive. Which one would you ask? Muhammad is dead. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. And that, my friends, is the difference. It is Easter. It is the power of the resurrection. One of the great preachers of all time stood in his pulpit on Easter Sunday, it is told. And his congregation was full like ours is today. And he stood in his pulpit and he said, he is risen from the dead. Amen. And he concluded the service. For I ask you, what else can we say? And what else needs to be said? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, it's time to open the altar on Easter Sunday, our high holy day. And there may be one here today that your Spirit is breathing upon them in a special way. Lord, I don't know what you'll do with this altar call and this invitation. But here's what I do know. You have risen. And as that affects us, may we respond. If we need to come to this altar because you are directing us and you are quickening our spirit to do so, may we respond. If we need to make some decision about our own personal life, our own personal walk, our own personal devotion time, the way we're doing our family, the way we're being a member of this community at work or at school or in Deep River or wherever we may live, whatever you have said to us, Lord, would you help us to seek less death and more life and find it in the power of the resurrection. I can't help but believe it would thrill your heart to see your altar full this morning of worshipers who are responding to you. praising you and sharing their deepest needs and committing their lives. And Lord, I know if there's one here today, just one, but maybe there's more than one, probably there's more than one, who don't know you and the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. Lord, would your Holy Spirit breathe on them? Would they see you standing at their heart's door, knocking and saying, please let me come in and abide with you and forgive your sins and free you from all its power, less death, more life, and give you life not only in the future when the New Jerusalem falls, but new life today on this Easter Sunday. New life, Heavenly Father. Oh, new life that comes from the nail-scarred hands of our Lord and of our Savior. Lord, you know the needs. You know the needs of every person in this place. May we respond to you in the power of your resurrection. May decisions be made that glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our choir has one anthem, but because we're going to make it an altar call, I'm going to invite you to stand and hear the anthem. And as they sing, our altar is open. If anyone needs to respond, would you do so?
Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with
people said,
amen.
Thank you. I almost forgot. Y'all got these done? There's no way to write do it, but the words I wrote down, in case you need my word, is extraordinary today. The appearances of our Lord. Salvation has been purchased. Transformed disciples have been made. And sorry, Taylor, the tomb is empty. Empty tomb has got to go there. And what do you think R stands for? Resurrection. Thank you for being here. Wave at the folks that are going to be coming for the 11 o'clock worship as you ride out today. And I hope nobody does that. We tried hard to get that word out every way we knew. Your presence humbles me and it honors God. And I am glad you're here on this day. And now, as we leave this place on this Sunday, may we do so in His peace. And in His power, and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray? Wow, Lord.